Our first lesson is from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 5a. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'See, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me.'" When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he added, "See, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. The context of it is that the angel Gabriel had appeared to Mary and told her that she was to be the mother of the Messiah, the Savior. And then the angel, as he was leaving, said to her that your relative Mary is pregnant. Go and see her. And this is where this picks up. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. For he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christmas is right around the corner now. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. We'll celebrate that with our worship service tomorrow evening. And then on Christmas Day, we will remember this is the day that has been set aside as the birthday of Jesus. But we're still in Advent. We're not quite to Christmas yet. And Advent's that time when we look back. We look back to the birth of the Lord, his coming and living amongst us, teaching us and then dying on our behalf and then being raised from the dead. And Advent's also that looking forward to that time when he'll come back and fulfill all that has been promised. And the kingdom of God will reign on earth as it already reigns in heaven. And so today, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, this last Sunday of Advent, we're looking at unlikely messengers talking about events that happen in the least likely of places. And it begins with our Old Testament lesson with Micah. And Micah has a disturbing word for the people of Judea. Things are going bad there. Times are distressful and Jerusalem is under siege. And the king has been humiliated by his enemies. And the people are without hope. And Micah speaks a stinging word to them about judgment. But then he offers words of hope. Words that the people need to hear, although most likely they did not really listen. But he said there's a new leader coming. One that does not rule with armies and with force and power. That does not control territories, but rather comes in the strength of the Lord, and who offers peace and justice and security. And oh, what words that the people needed to hear, these words of peace, justice, and security. Perhaps they're words we need to hear too in this topsy-turvy world that we live in. Where what seems to be going on around us is war and terror and poverty and natural disasters. There was tsunami last night in Indonesia. I don't know the death count, but many people were killed in it. Natural disasters. But then there's the common everyday things that happen around us. Growing older, illness, death, things that we all will face. And in the midst of this, we want security. But far too often, like the people of Judea, we look for it in the wrong places. They looked for it in their kings and their armies. We tend to look for it in our money, in our possessions, our insurance policies, our medical system, doctors and medicines that prolong life and help us overcome sickness. But all these things are going to fail. And we need that Savior, that Deliverer, that one that will come with the power of the Lord and the strength of the Lord. And Micah goes on to say that this is going to happen in the least likely place, Bethlehem, that little bitty old town that's a few miles outside of Jerusalem. People would have thought it would come from Jerusalem, because when you talk about the city of David, that's the one you really think about, because that's the capital. That's where David built his palace, where his son Solomon built the temple. And didn't the prophets already say that the Messiah would come from the lineage of David? Well, Bethlehem certainly can be traced back to the lineage of David, because that's where he was born. But it's just this little bitty, kind of insignificant town that's only really known for being the place where David was born. The unlikeliest of those who would become kings. When Samuel came to anoint the next king and he went to Jesse's house, Jesse didn't even bother to call David in from the fields. Surely that's not the one that God would choose. It's his brothers, his older brothers. But no, God chooses the least likely messengers in the least likely places. So Bethlehem reminds us that God works kind of behind the scenes in the least likely places with the least likely people. And we know that some 700 years later, that prophecy of the leader, the deliverer, the Savior coming would come from Bethlehem. And we know that to be the case with Jesus. So speaking of some 700 years later, it takes us to our unlikely messengers, Mary and Elizabeth. Women, lowly women. Women were marginalized in that society. They had no significant role, and yet here they are. They are the messengers of God. It's not the angels that are declaring this now. They come later with the shepherds. It's not the king offering up the coming of the Lord. He will never do that. It's not the priest, the ones who supposedly lead the people in their spiritual lives. They're the ones that end up crucifying Jesus. No, it's these two lowly women, pregnant women. One, young, poor, unwed. The other, older, much older, perhaps even beyond the age of being able to have children. But now she's pregnant. Elizabeth, the one carrying the messenger, the one that is to prepare the way for the Lord, and then the other one, Mary, carrying the message itself, Jesus. And I suspect Mary very much needed to come be with Elizabeth, because Mary's future was very uncertain. She's pregnant and not married. She has no idea what Joseph might do. More than likely, he will dismiss her as his fiance, and perhaps he will do it quietly and not bring any attention to her, but the other possibility is she'll do it quite publicly and humiliate her. Calls her to become an outcast in her community, perhaps even be stoned to death. Now, Mary needs a message of hope, and for that she comes to Elizabeth. And there Elizabeth comes through, tells her how blessed she is, Mary, and tells her that the baby inside her womb leapt for joy when Mary arrived with her little one inside the womb. I think of the old black pastor who said, I remember what he said now. When I was down to nothing, God was up to something. Like that? I could just hear somebody preaching that. When I was down to nothing, God was up to something. And that's what was going on with Mary. God was up to something. Something new, something exciting, but something people didn't expect. And Mary sings out, or probably just says, I don't know whether she sang it or said it, but we tend to have it sung, the Magnificat, where Mary says these prophetic words of how blessed she is because God has shown his favor upon her, this lowly one, and that she would indeed be blessed by all people, recognizing how God had used her. But then going on to say how God would defeat the proud, the powerful, the rich, but would lift up and save the lowly, the hungry, those that are on the margins of society, the outcast, that God was for them. And this was the good news, the message that was being proclaimed. As I was preparing for this sermon, I kept trying to think of a story that talks about an unlikely messenger with an unlikely message and a least likely place to be delivering it. And I really couldn't come up with one I really liked, but the one that kept coming to my mind and wouldn't leave my thoughts was the Mother Teresa of Grant Park inside of Atlanta. Her name was Louise Adams. She worked for the Southern Baptist Home Mission Board. But I'm not sure she was always in good standing with them. She never turned in her mission reports. They didn't know what she was doing. She didn't give out tax-deductible receipts for the donations that were given to her. But she did keep all the receipts of everything she spent in a garbage bag inside the house. Speaking of the house, it was right across the street from the Atlanta Zoo. And if you looked at it, the grass was growing up and the lawn was not kept up. On her porch were boxes, just tons and tons of boxes filled with clothes and who knows what else. And there was also furniture, tables and chairs and sofas and lamps and all this stuff crowding her sofa. You can only imagine what the inside looked like. Louise was the Mother Teresa of Grant Park because she was available for the people at any time, day or night. Now, I was there for part of her time. She served for, I don't know how many years, over 30 years. I was there in the 80s when the neighborhood was beginning to change, be gentrified. And I was part of a church that we were working to help the poor. And we had various ministries that would go on. And every now and then, Louise would show up and take part in what was going on. But for the most part, she wasn't there. She was really a Lone Ranger Christian. She didn't want to be held to any particular schedule. I don't think she kept a calendar. But she was there when she was needed. And somehow the word would get to her when somebody was in need, and she'd take off in her station wagon that was crammed full of stuff as much as her front porch was crammed full of things, and she would go and help. Now, Louise was what I think people might call someone that does toxic charity. Because all she offered was a Band-Aid to what was going on in people's lives. She was not trying to lift people out of poverty. She was not trying to give them a hand up. She was giving hands out, just giving to people what they needed. But I would never accuse her of toxic charity. And the reason is she loved the people she served. She knew them. They were not strangers to her. She was in their midst, always with her. Louise, I understand, was raised in an affluent family. But she gave all that up to be with the poor, to live amongst them, to be there whatever time they needed her. And those of us that had moved into that community, who were seeking to do ministry, we respected her, cared for her, supported her, because she was doing things we could not do. She was indeed an unlikely messenger with a message of hope, love, peace, joy, living in an unlikely place. My message for you today is, are you a messenger? Do you have a message to share? We tend to think, well, I'm not really good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not strong enough, or I don't have the resources to do those type of things. To which I would say, you're looking at it all wrong. Whenever something great happens for the kingdom of God, it's not through our goodness, our strength, our wisdom, our possessions and such. It's always done through the strength of the Lord. God building people up and God using even the least of these to do great things. So when you sit there and we talk about what can we do to serve God? Don't say, I can't do anything. Because God can use anyone. And our Hebrews passage, kind of the gist of it was that when we can't fix things for ourselves, God's there to fix it for us. That our sin that so much grabs a hold of us and won't let us go, God is there to break the oppression of that sin, so that we might be used for the purposes of God's kingdom. So on this Advent Sunday, as we look back to Christ's coming, we look forward to his coming again, I would encourage you to open your eyes, your ears, your heart for messengers that might come from unlikely sources, that share a message that might seem strange to the ways of our world and our culture and our society, and that might be coming also from the least likely of places. For perhaps God is working there, and perhaps God wants you to be one of those messengers. So let's take a moment, pray, reflect on what you've heard and what God might be saying to you. And in a moment, we will sing our next hymn.
Amen.